Thanks for tuning into the Woods Edge Student Ministry Podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. For more information, you can go to woodsedge.org or look us up on Facebook under Woods Edge Students.
Man, who's seen Star Wars? Incredible, incredible. You guys, I've been waiting for this movie to come out for years, like years and years. I don't remember where or how or what, but like when I was in elementary school at Haley Elementary, anybody, Haley, comment out there, what's up, my people? When I went to Haley Elementary back in the day, for some reason, I don't even know why, they like took us out of school to go see an episode of Star Wars at the Dollar Theater. Like, I don't think that they do that anymore, but it was awesome. Like, Star Wars just, it transcends movies. It's just a huge monster deal. And if you've been tracking it at all or paying attention to any of the news about Star Wars, like, it's going to break every single record in the book. It's 2 weeks out of the gates, almost three, and it's already the number two earner of any movie in the history of movies ever, period, the end. The only movie that's made more money than Star Wars is Avatar. And Avatar is at $2 point something billion total earnings global, right? And it's been out for years. Star Wars has been out for less than 3 weeks, and it's right on its heels. And Star Wars hasn't even been released to China yet. And you know those guys are going to eat this movie up. It's the largest population on Earth. And so when it goes to China, we're going to shatter every box office record, and it is going to stand for a long time, maybe till episode 8, which you can't wait for. So I went and saw Star Wars. Did you guys already show the picture of me? Is that what people were laughing at? Show the picture of me seeing Star Wars with Dwight and Bailey and the crew. So we went and saw Star Wars on the Friday, right after it came out, and we got to the theater like 2 hours early. Dwight had seen it that morning with his mom at like 8 a.m. and then stood in line and saved us a spot and watched it immediately again because he's devoted. We'll call it devoted, weird, but still. So we hung out in the theater for like an hour, and then it came on, and the theater was packed, and I was just elbow to elbow, and everybody was so excited, and it was a great movie, and it was thrilling, but still, I'm not one of those people that's like clapping in the movie, but they were there. The clappers were there. And they ate it up, and it was awesome, and it was epic. I've seen it a second time since. It was so good. This isn't the meat of my message, but you should go see it. It's great. But as I left the theater, like I got up from my seat, and I turned to the right, and I walked down the aisle, and as I'm walking down the aisle to the stairs in the mega theater, Theater 15, it struck me. As amazing as Star Wars is, and as epic of a film that it is, I was just struck, as awesome as that was to just watch this scientific fantasy thing, I get to live that. I get to live Star Wars on a daily basis. Why do people love Star Wars? Why is that movie so close and near and dear to our hearts? It's because it is full of action and adventure, and it's the epic, eternal struggle between light and dark, good and evil. And do you know, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says it, that God has written from before you were born eternity on your hearts. And eternity is all about seeking God and asking Jesus to rescue you from the dark, from the evil, from Satan, from the enemy. Like, there is an eternal cosmic battle going on for the hearts and minds and souls of every human being that has ever been, is, or will be born. It's a reality. Like Han said, everything you've heard is true. There is a battle going on. And God wrote it on our hearts that we would desire to be a part of it, that we would desire to be part of the victory. And as I'm leaving my seat, I'm like, I got to be part of that. I get to live out this epic struggle that I just got to see all my kid heroes walk out. What does it mean to be a Jedi, right? So I looked online. I kind of knew, but I looked online at the nerd sites, and I found out exactly what it means. But Jedi, they are super sensitive to what? The Force, right? They use the Force, the good ones and the bad ones. They work in another realm, right? They're sensitive to the Force. And as Christians, what are we sensitive to? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is way cooler than the Force. Awesome things can happen that the Force can't even touch when you have the Holy Spirit in you and you're operating by the power of the one true living God. And if you've ever confessed your faith in Jesus, if you've ever asked Him to rescue you, you have that power inside of you right now. Right now. And that power inside of you is the same power God, Jesus, said of before He left this earth. You will do greater things than I did. And you look at Jesus' sheet of what He did when He was on earth, and you're like, greater than that? And He's like, oh yeah, absolutely. And like Daisy Ridley said at the very end, just let it in. Just let that power in and see what it can accomplish, not only in you, but through you. Jedi are sensitive to the Force. We're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Jedi desire to learn and thrive in their skills and their giftings and what their calling is. We desire to learn and thrive too. And how do we do that? Well, first and foremost, appropriate example, we come to church. You come here to learn. You come here to hear what God has said to your pastor and that he delivers. These are not my words. These are the Lord's words. I'm not up here like, yay for me. Like, this is the office. This is the spiritual responsibility of a pastor. You are hearing what God has been working in me for you. The things he said to me are for your ears. Every person, whether student or adult, was preordained to be in this room today. And what you are hearing and are about to hear was for you. So you come here to learn what God wants to say to you. Maybe the whole message is for you. Maybe just a snapshot of the message is for you. Maybe the worship is for you. But something in this is personally for you. We use the church to learn. We use the Bible to learn. We use small groups and accountability to learn and thrive. Jedi are eager to help and serve others. They are not about themselves. When they become about themselves, they go to the dark side. They're evil. Jedi are about helping other people, serving other people, and it's the same with Christianity. We're called to save the lost, to introduce people to Jesus, to serve the hurting, to minister to the widow and the orphan. We are here to serve others, just like the Jedi. And lastly, Jedi are responsible for seeking out and training new Jedi. And that's what we're about too. Show me my slide for Wood's Edge. Our mission statement as a student ministry, we make disciples. And we do it because we love. We are loved by God, we love God, and we love other people. That is what we are all about. It's not enough for just us to be disciples. We're here to make new disciples, to introduce people to the fact that there's a Savior that came and gave his life so that we didn't have to pay for sin and death. And we don't just get to enjoy that freedom and that power and privilege in heaven. We get to walk out that freedom and that power as a disciple on this earth, day by day, minute by minute. So, as we begin 2016, this is the message I have for you guys. A reminder of how important, how vital it is that you remain and I remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we don't get tired of learning and thriving in our faith, that we're quick to serve others, not slow, not dragging our feet. When we see an opportunity to be a blessing, we leap in and do it, and that we make disciples. All of these things, many of us are doing. And if you're doing it and you're doing good, great. But you can do better. You can do more. You can be used beyond your imagination. And some of us are like, I just don't know. I'm a little intimidated. Maybe I'll try. No, let's just do it. Let's just do it. You guys are looking for, you are at the age where you're asking, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's the meaning of life? This is it. Your meaning, your purpose, your calling is right in front of you. And some of us are just kind of dragging our feet. We're kind of tiptoeing the line. Not this year. Let 2016 be the year that you dive in to what God has for you. Because it's a Star Wars theme message, I'll throw this in there. Yoda, our boy, right? Episode 5, he said this to Luke when Luke was whining like a baby. Luke, do or do not. There is no try. You guys, it's the same with your faith. Either believe and walk out your identity in Jesus Christ or don't. But there's no try. Don't try. Just do it. Just commit. Let the Force, let the Holy Spirit into you and just do it. He will give you everything that you need to be successful and just a difference maker. There's such a monster difference between knowing the right thing to do, which I would wager most everyone in this room knows. There's such a big difference between knowing the right thing to do and doing the right thing. Why do we settle for trying when we could be doing? Why do we settle for trying to do something when we could just do it? I think it's because we get distracted. And I got a couple lists of things that distract us. The cares of the world distract us. When mom gets cancer, we're distracted and we're like, oh, I can't seek the Lord. I can't pray. I can't serve. I can't go to church. I've got to deal with this problem. When I fail a test, when somebody's gossiping me, when the cares of the world get so in front of your face that you can't focus on anything else, that's not an excuse. That's when you should press in even more. That's when you should seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. When we become more concerned with what we think is good for us, when our ideas go against God's, I want this, and the shortest distance between this and me is this way, I'm going this way. And God is like, no, actually, I want to take you like all the way over here so you can learn some key things, and then you're going to get that at the right time and in the right way. I'm going to go and do what I want to do. That distracts us from doing the right thing God's way. What about when we think we know it all? How many of you guys have been part of this church as long as you can remember? How many of you have been part of this student ministry since you were seventh grade? A lot of you guys. Do you think you know it all because you've been part of this ministry for a year or five? I've been a Christian, sold out for Christ, and I've had my good years and bad, but I've been a Christian longer than most of you have been alive, and I am barely there. I am just now coming into my full gifting, I think, right? I am still learning every day. And as I wrote this message, I was like, man, I need to hear this. I need to be more all in. I need to do more. So don't let yourself be fooled thinking, I know it all. I've learned this monster lesson this year, and so I'm good. No, it's just the beginning, you guys. There's so much more. Another distraction is we think we're special. We think that the rules don't apply. We think, I've been part of the student ministry so long, I can do whatever I want in here because, you know, I know how to get around some of the rules, and I want to be more comfortable. You guys, that's a distraction. You are special. Every single one of you is unique and beautiful in the eyes of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are special in the eyes of the Lord, but you are not special compared to the person next to you, because all of us are children of God. And if you think you're better than the person next to you, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. We are all in this together. It's not about a handful of super saints over here and the rest of us scum over here. We are all called to something more, and we got to do it together. Don't be distracted by thinking that you're special. And I think the main thing that distracts us from doing faith instead of just giving it a shot is we tell ourselves this lie. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. Man, I feel so convicted after what they said at church today. I can't wait to do it tomorrow. You could do it today. Do you know what the devil's favorite word is? Tomorrow. Why? Because if you're not doing it today and thinking you're going to do it tomorrow, you're not doing it today, right now. The choice is clear. It's right before you. You can serve God with your whole heart and mind today, or I'll worry about it tomorrow. You know what happens tomorrow? You know what you tell yourself? Tomorrow. And the next day? Tomorrow. And the day after that? I'll do it next week. I'll do it in 2017. And then you've gotten so tired of telling yourself you'll do it tomorrow, you're like, that's never going to happen for me. It woulda if you'd just done it today. So a lie that we tell ourselves is, I'll do it tomorrow. And that keeps us from doing it today. I'm going to give a couple examples of the result of these types of distractions that I just listed that I've seen in this student ministry in the last 2 months. Now, I'm listing these examples, and some of them might hit you in the gut, but I'm not worried about what happened yesterday. I'm calling this out because I don't want to see it happen today or tomorrow. Here's some examples of some stuff where we have been distracted. And I, as your pastor, have let you and not been firmer with you, so the onus, the responsibility is just as much on me. So I'm not saying this at anyone. I'm saying it to us. I have witnessed many times in the last 2 months a leader, myself, somebody in a position of responsibility in this ministry go up to some of you guys and say, can you help me with this? And some of you guys have been like, no. Some of you guys have been like, yeah, in a minute, and then you stay on the couch. You guys, we are here to serve the Lord and each other. And when your elder, your leader, your friend asks you, can you help? You should be quick. You should leap out of your chair and say, yeah. But I think we've gotten distracted, and I think we think we're a little special. And I think we think, oh, I'm just waiting for my friend so I don't have to go in service until it's halfway over. You guys, it's not acceptable. Not just to me. We're here to serve the Lord. This is you and the Lord. So if you can just sit and not get up and not get engaged and not jump in the game, and you think God's okay with that, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm feeling like God is calling us through this message to be all in. And all in is not riding the couch. Another example, I said it was coming. I love you guys. Why are you sitting on the floor in the back of the room? You can't even see what's going on. Why are some of my best worshipers hanging out in the back where nobody can hear them, and they could be up at the front like worshiping all out and leading the charge for what it means to give all of yourself to Jesus in worship? You come to church to worship God. What are you doing in the shadows? Get up here and be leaders. All of you are leaders. Don't give it a half-hearted effort. Give it all that you've got. Talking with friends during a sermon. I'm not offended. I'm okay. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But if God has something to say to you personally in a sermon, you should be all ears. He's been working on this. He's preparing you. He's wanting you to hear it. And you're just like, man, check this thing out on Vine. And he just said something that will radically change your life for 2016, and it just passed you by. You missed it. He'll give you a second chance, but you could have done it today. This is huge. Ignoring response time. Do you know that the most important part of any church service is not when I'm up here or whoever's up here? It's not even worship. It's your response to what God said through the pastor. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to respond to God? Not me. Don't come tell me, hey, I feel like doing this. I love hearing it, but that's not the end all. You need to respond to the Lord. When you tithe, when you go and take part in communion, when you raise your hand and say, yes, Jesus, I resonate with that. It's true. That's the most important part of church. And many of you are just heading for the door, going to the bathroom, going to check out it. I don't know where you're going. And again, it's not me. I'm not offended. It's the most important part of a sermon for you, and you are missing it. Be all in. For 60 minutes, forget the rest of the world and just hear what God wants to say to you, your good, good Father, who has great words for you in this room. And this isn't so much something that happens here, but on small groups. But you guys, why are we bickering with each other? Why are we gossiping about each other? The early Christians had thousands of people coming to them and saying, how can we be saved? Because of a big thing. And the big thing was these non-believers saw how the believers loved each other, forgave each other, gave each other second, third, fourth chances, were quick to forgive, were quick to apologize. And they're like, man, they love each other so much. They give everything for each other. I want to be a part of that. But when we act the way everybody acts at school or at the house, and we just hold grudges and we get upset and we gossip, who wants to see that and say, oh, I want to be a part of that? You know, when I led the singles ministry here at Woods Edge years and years ago, I had several people that came to faith in that ministry. And they're like, man, this is an amazing community. But then they kind of got in a little bit and they started to see, these people behave just like the sinners and drunks that I left. What's the difference? And those people just walked away. They came into the kingdom of God. They looked around. They're like, these people are terrible. And they walked right back to their friends. Because even though their friends were sinners and living a life not very good for them, they were more loyal than the Christians that were supposed to lay down their life for their friend. We need to love each other and serve each other and pay attention to what God wants to say to us and be sensitive to the Spirit and worship and respond better, more fully in 2016 than we did last year. There is a big danger when we start to let ourselves believe that church is more about hanging out with our friends than hanging out with Jesus Christ. More interested in hearing what's going on in the lives of our friends than hearing what Jesus wants to say to us personally. Own that. Let that sink in. Rewrite your understanding of why you're here. Jesus has something unique to say to you that you will not hear if you are distracted. Discipleship, what we're called to be part of, what we're called to do, what we're called to make, is a life and death situation. It's an epic struggle. And you got an enemy that wants to take you out. And he knows how to do it. He's been watching you since you were born. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your struggles. And he will hit you when you least expect it. And you need to be sold out and all in and pursuing Christ on a daily basis to protect yourself. Last week, Pastor Jeff said this in an email to all 5,000 members of our church. Make weekly worship, church, a priority. It was a priority for Jesus. It should be a priority for us. It's just the way that God made us. Most importantly, God loves it when we join together to seek his face in worship. He loves it when we join together to seek his face in worship, not each other's faces, not each other's gossip, not each other's stuff. All of that is fine. This is about community, but our community has one goal, seeking Jesus. So be mindful of him in this room. When you're in here for these just 60 few minutes, the message, the worship, the response should hold all of your attention. You should engage in what I am saying or the speaker saying or what Dwight and Bailey and the crew are leading us. You should engage with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that ain't happening when you're doing this or you're wandering back and forth. And we don't have all the time in the world to get this right. Matthew 25. Nope, that's a lie. Matthew 24, 37 through 51. This is the scripture God told me to share with you today. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. When Jesus Christ comes back in Revelation and Armageddon and all the bad stuff in the Bible, when that happens, it will be just like it was in the days of Noah. And if you don't know what that means, you should read your Bible and find out. It's a good story. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People did not realize what was about to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way that it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working in a field together, and one will be taken and the other one, like, left. Like, what? What's happening? Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. And just now as I read that, I get the full understanding of what that means. That means that these two women, one of them knew Jesus and was not talking about it. That means these two men, one of them had a relationship with God and wasn't praying for his friend or witnessing to him. And he got taken and the other guy's just like, what just happened? What do I do now? And no one, Christians are gone. No one will be there to answer those questions. So you too, me too, us too, must keep watch, be vigilant, be like ready for action. For you don't know what day the Lord is coming back. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time. We don't just get to check in and out of church and small groups and think, I checked the box and I went to those things. It's an all the time commitment. What if that servant, when Jesus comes back, thinks to himself before he comes back, my master won't be back for a long time. And then he begins beating the other servants, or I would say gossiping about other people around him or being a jerk, partying, getting drunk. Well, that master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will be cut to pieces. And he will assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you think that you have all the time in the world to get this right, you guys, Jesus could literally come back today. Like, look at Israel, look at the signs, read Revelation, and look around in the world. We are living in a time when he could come back any second. And we're like, I'll do it tomorrow. You guys, you don't have that luxury. I don't have that luxury. We need to pursue Jesus today. We don't have all the time in the world. And I'm saying this to you, not to get after you, but to say, don't miss your calling. Don't miss the greatest life this life has to offer, which you cannot attain outside of a relationship with God. And he's got stuff to say to you about your today, about your tomorrow, in these services, at small groups, in the Bible, and we just like walk by it. Do you know what a blessing it is that we even have these and that we can open them in public and not be killed? I want to watch a couple minutes of episode 5 of Star Wars. Segway. That's my segue sound. And I want you guys to pay attention to the scene. This is where Luke and Yoda are in the swamp and they're in training. And I want you to pay attention to Luke's attitude. And I want you to pay attention to what Yoda says in response. And it's Star Wars and it's awesome. So, check it out.
Now, the storm. Feel it. Nope. We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you. Always with you, it cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try. Size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. And binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter.
If you want to finish the clip, you must watch it at home. You guys all know that Luke would go on to be the greatest, if not one of the greatest, Jedi of all time. I can't wait for episode 8 when he does some crazy stuff. But he didn't start off that way, did he? He started off weak and full of excuses. He started off with a poor attitude and a lot of reasons of why not. And I loved Yoda's rebuke. Look, either do it or don't. There's no middle ground. And that's the way it is with faith. You're either all in, or you're really not in at all. Luke couldn't lift the X-Wing because he wasn't giving it everything he had. And there's stuff in your life. There's unrepentant sin. There's people around you that need prayer, and you're like, I don't even know what to say. And all you need to do is be willing and give it your all, and God will meet you the rest of the way. What did Yoda say? My ally is the Force. Your ally is the Spirit of God. When used with faith, you can heal people with leprosy. Like, you can watch stuff fall off their body and it be made new. You can say to the dead, come back to life, and they will. You can tell someone about Jesus and watch them become a Christian right before your eyes. Jesus said, you will do greater things than I did. Who knows what you in this room are capable of if you would just be all in. God's not looking for half our heart. And I give 51%, so it's a majority. No, he's not looking for half our heart. He's looking for our whole heart. This is the other scripture he wanted me to read to you guys today. Hear it from the words, the mouth of a good father, exhorting you to more, encouraging you. Malachi 1, 10 through 13, God saying to his people, man, how I wish someone would just shut the doors of my church so that these half-hearted sacrifices could no longer be offered. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and I will not accept your offerings. And yet my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night, like in Africa and China, places where persecution is real and people are like, this is life and death, and they know it. All around the world, they offer me sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. But you dishonor my name with your half-hearted actions by bringing second-rate offerings. And when you do so, you're saying that it's okay to defile the Lord's table. You say, it's too hard to serve the Lord. You guys, it's not too hard. You just need to decide, I'm in, I'm going to do it, and he will take care of the rest. make the decision that 2016, you are going to be all about Jesus Christ, making him known, receiving his blessings, and sharing them with the people around you. It's not enough for us anymore, you guys, to just come to church and hang out. It's not enough for us to worship in the back of the room. It's not enough to pray half-heartedly and to act like we have all the time in the world. All of those things are a lie. We don't have all the time in the world. Your meaning, your purpose that you are looking for with all your heart, mind, and soul, which I remember distinctly when I was 16. What is going on? The world is bananas. This can't be what it's all about. It's not. It's bigger. It's greater than you can imagine. Decide to commit and grab it for yourself. Every single person, every one of you in this room is a leader. God made you to be an influencer. You have the power of heaven's armies at your beck and call. And as a leader and an influencer, I will tell you that those around you are watching you. They're watching what you will do, and they're going to do what you do. And here's my question for you this morning. As a Christian, what kind of example are you setting? Are you setting an example saying, this is the life that's what the Bible's all about, and it's good, and it's clearly good for me? Or are you setting an example of, God doesn't really work, he doesn't really answer my prayers, and, you know, come to church with me, yeah, but we're just going to play air hockey. What kind of example are you setting? That's between you and the Lord. I don't think anybody in here is setting a horrible example. But the thing is, we can all be all in. You guys, there are students in this room that could be like, I can't even measure the amount of potential I see in all of you. All of you. Even those of you that are like, not me. Oh, he snapped at me the other day. No, all of you. Especially the riffraff and the ones on the fringe. Jesus went after those people. You, even you, have the full potential and power of God behind you. If you would just commit today and say, I'm all in. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a shot for a year. I'm going to give everything I've got. You guys, your lives will be transformed. They'll be different. And the people around you are desperate to see an example of a life lived sold out for Jesus. Many of you know, I'm sure, better than me, that 4 students in our area killed themselves the week before Christmas, committed suicide, took their lives because they didn't know that what you know. They don't get to hear what you heard. I don't know why they did it, but people around you are desperate to hear that there's a rescuer, that hope is available. And if we could just step up and live the life that Jesus is calling us to, people are going to step up, they're going to take note, and they're going to come to us and say, I want that. How do I get that? And you're going to know the answer. People around us are dying for this information, and we keep it to ourselves, and we miss out on what God's saying to us. I had more to say, but I'm going to invite the band up here, and I just want to lead us in some things to respond about. At this point in the last service, I apologize for being firm and hard. I'm not going to do that with you guys. You might be students. You might be teenagers. You're children of God. You are just as accountable as your parents and myself to hear the word and do it. And God, he doesn't want to turn you into his workhorse. He wants to bless you and do supernatural things through you. It's a privilege. It's not a responsibility. It's not just a, oh, I got to do this. Like, he wants to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Just say that you want it today. Just say, I'm all in. And he will do stuff in you like today. So we're going to pray for 3 things. If you feel convicted at all by what God has said this morning, even 1% or 100, I want you to just own that. Sit in that discomfort for a second and then give it back to God and just say, I'm sorry. I recognize I'm not all in. I recognize I'm struggling over here, whatever. Own your thing that he's putting on your heart. Acknowledge it. Say you're sorry. And then commit to going the other way. Repentance is, I'm walking in this direction. This direction is bad. I know it's bad. I'm repenting. I'm turning the other direction. That's all you need to do. And that happens up here and in here. So just repent of whatever God's convicting you of. Man, I really feel like God is saying I need to get away from this sin issue. Do it. Do it. And if you're like, I don't have the strength, ask for strength. Repent. Own your stuff. And ask God to help you set it right. That's 1. Number 2, You guys, make Sundays and Wednesdays a priority for yourselves this year. And when you're here, be all in. Set a good example. A lot of you guys, you hang out deep into my service for senior high out there, and it sets a horrible example for the junior hires. And now I'm having to get after them when that wasn't a problem just a month ago. You're like, well, my idols, my heroes, they just hang out on the couch, so I'm going to do it too. Let's be all in on Sundays and Wednesdays and set a great example. And third, every single one of you knows somebody that would benefit from being prayed for, hearing a story about God, coming to church, being invited to freedom. Ask the Lord, who's my one person this year that I can reach, that I can press into? And while that's a question for the year, reach out to that person today. Send them a text and tell them you love them. Ask them how you can pray for them. People out there feel invisible. Make them realize that they're seen, that you see them. Ask for a name. Commit to being all in as part of this student ministry. And repent of anything God's speaking to you. I'm going to pray for us and then release us to respond. Bow your heads.
Thanks for listening to the Woods Edge Student Ministry Podcast. Please feel free to share copies of this podcast, but do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way. For more information, please visit woodsedge.org or find us on Facebook under Woods Edge Students.